You are Locked On Orioles, your daily Baltimore Orioles podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey there, Orioles fans. Today is Thursday, June 10th, 2021, and welcome back in to the Locked On Orioles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. As always, I'm your host, Connor Newcomb, and on today's episode, we will, quickly recap tough-to-watch Orioles game from Wednesday night, especially if you were in the ballpark like I was for my second game of the year here in 2021, and I am now 0-2 at the ballpark. But we'll give you the five things you need to know from the Orioles' 14-1 loss to the New York Mets. Yeah, they've been playing. The Orioles have some good baseball lately. This was not one of those games. Then, after the first break, we will take a look at the Orioles through 60 games this season. This was game 61 tonight, but you know, we'll look at the stats through Tuesday night's game because, of course, the Orioles are coming off of a 60-game 2020 season. So wanted to do a comparison between the 2020 Orioles and the 2021 Orioles through 60 games. It's actually a little surprising how similar the two teams are, despite having different players doing different things for each side. Then at the end, I'm going to talk a little bit about the sticky stuff situation that is going on in Major League Baseball, or you could say the sticky situation, and how this new goop that these pitchers are using might be cracked down on by Major League Baseball and how that could impact the Orioles specifically. So that's all coming up on this episode of the Locked On Orioles podcast, which is brought to you by Stat Hero, the first ever daily fantasy sports book that gives the player the advantage. Go to stathero.com/lockedon for 300% back on your first play. So for the Orioles on Wednesday night, it was not a pretty one. They lose 14-1 to the New York Mets. Orioles now 22-39 through 61 games on the season. But they do split the series because, they kind of gave it to the Mets in game one. Mets returned the favor. Of course, the O's won 10-3 in game one. So the Orioles do split the series, and that's now three consecutive series in which the Orioles have not lost. They won the series against Minnesota, won the series against Cleveland, and they split the series against the Mets. And, I got to say, pretty successful homestand for the Orioles, if, I do say so myself. I mean, you look at what they did, and, they end up with a 5-3 homestand. You'll take that most days. Especially coming off of a 14-game losing streak. But going to give you the five things you need to know quickly from the Orioles' 14-1 loss to the Mets. And we got to start with starting pitching for the Orioles. We might be getting towards the end of the line for Matt Harvey's time in an Oriole uniform. He once again was smoked by the New York Mets. And, I have to say he has had some bad starts this year, but this may have been the worst of the season for Matt Harvey. He goes just three innings, allowing seven runs on eight hits. He struck out two. He walked only one, but he did allow two homers through 61 pitches. Harvey's ERA up to 7.41 now on the season. And of course, this is coming off of that last start against the Mets in which he gave up seven runs on eight hits. That start, he did last 4 1/3. He did strike out four, so he was definitely a little better at Citi Field. But, the seven earned runs he gave up, that is tied for the season high for him, which was also the start at Citi Field. And frankly, he has been terrible. No other way to put it, in his last, five or six starts. I mean, the only one that was kind of serviceable was his last start against Minnesota when the Orioles used him as an opener. He went three innings, allowing just the one run on two hits, and then they took him out because he was pitching on short rest. Maybe they give him some more shots to do that or pitch out of the bullpen, but we are getting close to the end. His last, we'll look at, really, you don't have to look at that many. We'll look at his last five starts that were real starts. We won't include that one against the Twins. Seven earned runs over 4 1/3, six runs over an inning and 2/3, six runs over 4 2/3, five runs over three innings, and then seven runs over three innings. That is just not going to cut it. The whip is up to two. He's just in the middle of the plate with everything at this point for Matt Harvey, and it's just not working. And, it was cool for a while at the beginning of the season, and some of his stuff was okay. I mean, he got five whiffs on his fastball today, which is pretty good on 27 fastballs. That was a pretty solid pitch, but everything else that he threw just got demolished between that curveball, the changeup, and the slider. Just another bad night for Matt Harvey. Second thing you need to know from the Orioles' 14-1 loss, we'll stick with the pitching, and a rough return for Max Soroller out of the Orioles bullpen. Of course, the Rule 5 pick of the O's out of the Red system, who pitched in two games in early April, then went on the injured list with the shoulder injury and missed 2 months. He returned, was activated off the IL on Tuesday, made his debut for the Orioles in the eighth inning on Wednesday, and it did not go well. You know, we talked about the big innings in this game, Harvey giving up the 5 runs in the third inning. Soroller gives up 2 in the eighth. He gives up 4 in the ninth. He finishes the night 2 innings, 6 runs, 5 hits, 2 Ks, 1 walk, 3 home runs allowed by Max Soroller. And I think the icing on the cake, you know, we talked about this year, that series in Chicago when the Orioles gave up a home run to Billy Hamilton in back-to-back games. Kind of felt like that was the lowest point of the season. You know, it was during a 14-game losing streak. Billy Hamilton doesn't hit homers. They give one up in back-to-back games. Maybe a new low point, giving up a home run to Mason Williams. Yes, Mason Williams, who was with the Orioles in 2018 and 2019, didn't do any hitting at all, was a reserve outfielder for the O's, filled in when there were some injuries. He was playing center fielder for the Mets because they have had so many injuries in their outfield. He hit a home run off of Max Soroller. You can't be giving up home runs to Mason Williams. Soroller did not look good at all. And frankly, he wasn't good in his rehab appearances in Norfolk either. So we'll see if he, you know, maybe goes into a Tyler Wells earlier this year situation where the Orioles don't pitch him for, you know, 10 to 12 days in a row and basically try to hide him in the bullpen as the Rule 5 pick. Third thing you need to know from the game is that, you know, even when games look like this, Cedric Mullins is still going to give you a reason to watch. How about the first batter of the game? Jonathan Villar, former Oriole, who returned with a two-hit night with a couple of doubles in this one, laces a ball to the left center field gap. It looked like off the bat and the trajectory, that's an easy double. Nobody's getting there. Here comes Cedric Mullins flying Superman style, full-out dive into the left center field gap to make an incredible catch to rob Villar of extra bases. I mean, it was an insane highlight reel play to start the game in the top of the first inning. Just a ball that not many center fielders can get to. He pulls it in. Then he comes up in the bottom of the first. He leads off with a single the other way. Ends up scoring in the inning on a Ryan Mountcastle RBI single that cut the Mets lead to 2-1 back in the bottom of the first, which ended up being the only run of the day for the Orioles. And hit another ball hard late in the game. Hit a screamer. It was in the seventh or eighth inning that ended up being caught by Mason Williams in right center field. So he did have 2 hard hit balls on the day as well. But hitting 323, 928 OPS, he just continues to be very, very fun to watch. Fourth thing you need to know from the game is maybe Michael Franco's bat is heating up just a little bit once again. Remember, Franco started the season, you know, back in April really, really good. He had a horrendous May for the Orioles. I mean, he was hitting under 150 in May. He was terrible, striking out a lot, grounding into a lot of double plays, it seemed like. But maybe the bat's starting to heat up just a little bit. Of course, he hits that monster 3-run homer in Tuesday night's game into the second deck in left field. Then he had a nice little 2-for-3 game on Wednesday night, 2-for-3 with a double, did not strike out, and the only out he made hit 2 balls pretty hard for a single and a double for Franco. He's been playing a pretty nice defensive third base as well, kind of better than expected lately. So maybe he is starting to, you know, heat up a little bit and go back in a more positive direction for the Orioles. And the last thing you need to know, the fifth thing from the Orioles 14-1 loss, is that I love Stevie Wilkerson. Love to watch him pitch. Love how versatile he is. You know, switch hitter who can play basically every position on the field and pitch for you. He's a good depth guy, but, you know, it looks like his bat has taken a step back. And, you know, when he was playing fairly regularly for the Orioles back in 2019, it's not that he was a good bat. He wasn't a top of the order, middle of the order hitter. He was hitting 7th, 8th, or 9th every day in the lineup, but he could hold his own from both sides. And, you know, he came up this year and had 2 doubles in his first game, but he just looked overmatched, overpowered, and that's how he has looked since he has come up. He went 0-for-3 with 3 strikeouts in the game on Wednesday. He's hitting 189 so far at the Major League level this year. And again, just really looking overmatched by Major League pitching. And I know he's facing Taijuan Walker, who's having an incredible year for the Mets so far. But Wilkerson, the bat just does not look like he belongs at the Major League level right now. You know, he doesn't have a hit since June 4th, and it just hasn't been a good ride for Stevie Wilkerson so far. And, you know, he's just a placeholder, I would think. And, you know, you hope Jamai Jones, now that he is back and healthy in Norfolk, will come up and play second base soon for the Orioles. But the O's are continuing to struggle to find someone to play second between, you know, Arias and Valleca and Wilkerson. And, of course, even, you know, you had Yomar Sanchez at the beginning of the year. Jamai Jones has got to be that answer at some point for the O's. But the O's do lose 14-1, and, you know, you got to know sometimes that, you know, even when things are going good, like they have been over the last week and a half, the way this team is built, you're going to get a bad start. You're going to have games like this sometimes that go 14-1 in the other team's favor. But coming up after the break, we are going to compare the last two Orioles teams because the O's are now through 60 games here in the 2021 season. Why is that significant? Well, they played a full 60 games in the shortened 2020 season. So wanted to do a comparison of the 2 years. We'll look at the team stats, both on the hitting and the pitching side. Look at the individual stats for some players, how they compare, and kind of who the big pitchers and hitters are this year as compared to last year and how, you know, everything kind of shakes out in all of baseball comparing year to year, 2020 versus 2021. Through 60 games. That's coming up after the break. So we will get back to the Orioles talk in just a second, but first, did you know that 85% of people who play daily fantasy sports lose? Yeah, and that includes me as well. Is it really that surprising? The game is rigged against you. You're playing against thousands of other lineups, not to mention experts who have more tools and more time. You don't really stand a chance. Now, introducing Stat Hero. It's the first ever daily fantasy sports book that puts the player in control and winning within reach. Here's how it works. Stat Hero shows you their lineups and dares you to beat them. It's you versus the house in a head-to-head fantasy matchup. And it's winner take all. So you have the advantage, unlike playing against 1,000 other people and if you get lucky, maybe winning like 30 cents on daily fantasy sports. So play Stat Hero now and change the odds. Go to stathero.com/lockedon, sign up for free right now, and you get 3 times back on your first play. They're giving you a 300% match. That's unheard of. So go to stathero.com/lockedon. Again, that is stathero.com/lockedon. And today's episode of the Locked On Orioles podcast is also brought to you by rockauto.com. One reason to repair and maintain your cars is to save money that you can then use for other important things like a mortgage or food or maybe Orioles tickets. So why would you choose to spend 30, 50, or 100% more for the exact same auto parts at a chain store or a new car dealership? You can simply go to rockauto.com. They have everything from engine control modules, brake parts, to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. The rockauto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. And best of all, the prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. So why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. And write Locked On Orioles in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. So officially at the end of play on Tuesday night, that was a couple of nights ago, the Orioles 10-3 victory over the Mets in game one of this two-game set against New York, the Orioles officially hit the 60-game mark of the 2021 season. And, you know, in a normal 162-game season, which we are basically in at this point, the 60-game mark really doesn't mean much. I mean, you know, you're still 20-plus games away from the halfway point. You're still, at this point, we're still more than a month away from the All-Star game, you know, about 6 weeks away from the trade deadline. It doesn't necessarily feel early in the season because we are into June, but, you know, it doesn't really feel like we're getting close to the All-Star game either, really, at this point. But of course, the 60-game mark this year does mean a little bit more because if you look back to 2020, this would be the end of the season for the Orioles if this were 2020. Of course, just a 60-game season because of the COVID-19 pandemic last year. And so wanted to take some time on today's episode to really compare what the Orioles look like through 60 games in 2021 versus what they looked like for the entire 60-game season back in 2020. So, you know, wanted to look at the hitters, the pitchers, individual stats, team stats, and you know, how it's looking overall for the Orioles. And of course, you start with record. The Orioles are obviously a little bit behind the pace they had set last year. And a lot of that has to do, frankly, with the 14-game losing streak that the Orioles were on a couple of weeks ago. But the Orioles went 25-35 in the 60-game season back in 2020. 22-38 are the Orioles through 60 games here in 2021. Now again, with a 14-game losing streak, which is something the Orioles didn't really come close to going through during 2020, it's kind of surprising that they're only three games behind their pace of last year. And we know the Orioles kind of fizzled out late in the 2020 season. They were kind of in the playoff race there for, you know, 30, 35 games at one point before, you know, they didn't finish very strong. Still finished fourth in the AL East, a game up on the Red Sox. Of course, they are very much in fifth right now in the division with Boston, Tampa, Toronto, and New York all having winning records. And the Orioles basically playing in the best division in baseball at the moment. But wanted to kind of look into the reasons why, you know, the Orioles' record is different and you know who has stepped up, you know, versus last year. And obviously there's some obvious things like, you know, players that are gone versus players that are here now for the Orioles. You know, the O's didn't have Trey Mancini in their lineup last year. Trey Mancini has been the Orioles' second best hitter so far this year. Trey hitting, you know, 276 through the 58 of the 60 games he has played in. Team high 11 homers, team high 45 RBIs, third on the team with 13 doubles. He is second on the team with 23 walks he has drawn. He scored a team high 33 runs. His OPS of 832 is second on the team. You know, all these numbers really, you know, when he's second, he's behind Cedric Mullins, but, you know, he's been one of their best hitters, and that's something, you know, that they did not have in the lineup in 2020. You obviously look at the major contributors who are not around in 2021 when you look at the Orioles lineup in 2020. Of course, Renato Nunez had the 12 home runs through the 60 games last year. He is no longer with the team. Hanser Alberto was still sporting a 283 average, not in the Oriole lineup anymore. And you had Jose Iglesias, who was the Orioles' best hitter through 2020, even though he only did play in 39 of the 60 games because of injury, and he is over with the Angels at this point. Then you have Rio Ruiz, who, you know, has since been DFA'd by the Orioles as well. And, you know, another guy really is Pat Falaka. Actually played a really good amount of games. He played 52 games for the Orioles in 2020. So far in 2021, just 32 games for Pat Falaka through the first 60 of the season, and has spent some time in AAA Norfolk as well. So those are kind of how the roster looks different, at least on the hitting side. And then, of course, you know, the one, you know, big thing you have for the Orioles this year is the contributions of Cedric Mullins playing in all 60 games for the Orioles, hitting 325, 394 on base, 17 doubles. He's got 9 homers. He's driven in 19. He's stolen 9 bases. I mean, he is the top offensive guy for the Orioles. And you look back to what he did in 2020, you know, 48 games, 271 average, 315 on base, 4 doubles, 3 homers. You know, he was solid, but, you know, it was not the production that he has put up so far this year through the 60 games. But when you do look at, you know, what the team has done as a whole offensively, you do start to see some changes as well. Because obviously, you know, another big thing was how good Ryan Mountcastle was last year and how good DJ Stewart was at times. Those two have not been back to those levels, although Mountcastle is starting to finally find that bat, winning AL Player of the Week last week. But if you look at the Orioles, first looking so far at the 2021 statistics, and, you know, easy thing to look at for an offense, really, before you get into any kind of more advanced stats, is your runs scored on the season. The Orioles 19th in runs. They have scored 250 runs through the first 60 games of the season here in 2021. And you flip it over to 2020, where the Orioles, you know, offense had definitely some moments. They, you know, right around that, were 17th and had 274 runs through 60 games. So the offense, you know, a little bit better just as far as runs scored are concerned. But you do want to look at some of the other numbers for the Orioles, specifically, you know, some things that they have struggled with in the past. And it starts with, like, the team walk rate, which was 28th out of 30 teams back in 2020. Just a 7.3% walk rate. Only Colorado and Detroit were worse back in the 2020 season. And we know, you know, it's still been an issue for the Orioles here in 2021. It's gone up a little bit. They're now 27th. It is a 7.8% walk rate. But again, you know, it's another big issue. Then you look at the strikeout rate for the Orioles, 23.1% on the strikeout rate for the O's. Now, actually, when you compare that to the rest of baseball, you know, they actually have a little bit of a better number than a lot of teams. You look at the 23.1, it is the seventh lowest strikeout rate in baseball so far here in 2021. And I think that has, you know, kind of been a key factor for the Orioles, definitely upping the offense recently here this season, because they were striking out at crazy amounts early in the season. They had that streak of all those 10-plus strikeout games. You look back at last year, it was 22.9%, so it has upped, but they were 12th in the major leagues last year instead of in the top 10. And then the one more thing you want to look at is team WRC+. That's weighted runs created plus on the season. And, you know, it's a pretty good statistic that, you know, 100 is league average and can kind of show you how you're doing as, you know, compared to the league. And the Orioles were 13th last year. You know, they were pretty good, 104 on the WRC+. They had, you know, really by the end of the season, an above average offense. Their pitching just was not very good. And, you know, you look at it this year, they are right around the average mark. They are 99 on the WRC+. That's 14th in baseball. And, you know, offense is down this year. But the Orioles, you know, have been fairly average on that number the last 2 years. And it's really interesting because they've been a pretty bad team, as we know. But, you know, through the 60 games this year, the 60 games last year, basically a league average offense, which, you know, you will take, especially last year when you don't have a Trey Mancini in the lineup. And now, you know, this year you can kind of attribute some of it to, you know, having basically zero Ryan Mountcastle, and, you know, you're not getting some production from some other guys, but the Oriole bats are starting to swing it just a little bit better here in 2021. But then did want to go over to the pitching side for the Orioles, because we know, you know, it's been very up and down. And early this year, the pitching was very surprising. During the 14-game losing streak, it was not very good at all. So we do know strikeouts are up, but do want to look at the strikeout rate for the Orioles pitchers so far. And a lot of teams see a bump this year because, you know, the numbers are kind of up across baseball, but the Orioles did not do a great job of striking batters out last year. They were 26th in the major leagues at just 8.45 strikeouts per nine. Now you switch it to 2021, and of course, you know, you've got guys like John Means upping numbers because of how good he has been this season. And the Orioles have turned themselves into a little bit better strikeout team. 9.1 Ks per nine puts them up at 17th in baseball. And, you know, you're going to look at the strikeouts and you're going to look at the walks, just like we did with the hitters, because, you know, the Orioles had a frustrating time of, you know, really walking batters. It's been an issue, especially during these rebuilding years, past couple of years. And this year so far, you know, they have been in the top half of the league as far as walk rate. They are walking 3.32 batters per nine. That is 14th best in baseball, which you will take for a pitching staff that, behind John Means, let me tell you, does look pretty shaky at times for the Orioles. And, you know, you go back to last year, and, you know, it also really wasn't something that was a huge, huge issue for them last year. 3.3 walks per nine, and that was 10th best in baseball. So, you know, it's really interesting to look, you know, the individual performances have, you know, varied year to year, and you're seeing Cedric Mullins on this huge upswing, and, you know, maybe Ryan Mountcastle kind of in a slump. But, you know, as we kind of go through all these numbers, you know, the numbers are fairly similar to, you know, what they were last year. You look at, you know, for example, team ERA. The Orioles were basically a league average team ERA last year, 4.51. That was good for 16th best in baseball last year, which, you know, right out of the 30 teams, put you right smack dab in the middle. This year for the Orioles, you know, it's been somewhat of a similar story. They've been a little worse, though, in the ERA front. But, you know, it's a 4.81 ERA, which, you know, is a little bit worse. But compared to the rest of baseball, it is the fourth worst in baseball. So, you know, really the pitching was a little bit better last year, which, you know, maybe you wouldn't expect, just because the fact that the pitching numbers have all kind of gone up so far here in 2021. But, you know, it's interesting to take the look, because it really feels like the offense, you know, this year is pretty much the same. And the pitching has gotten a little bit worse, but the numbers aren't too far apart. And, you know, you look at the record, 25 wins versus 22 wins, the records aren't too far apart either. But it's interesting to see, you know, where the Orioles are going trajectory-wise. And, you know, at the end of the 60-game season last year, they were floundering. Right now, they're playing good baseball. Coming out of that 14-game losing streak, you know, that's three straight series where they, you know, haven't lost here at this point. And, you know, playing a lot better baseball, and, you know, you're getting that production from guys like John Means on the mound. And, you know, you had a good John Means for his last four starts last year, but you didn't have him like this all season. You know, you're getting a guy like Bruce Zimmerman up on the team this year, who you really didn't get any production like that from him last year. You know, you've added a guy like Matt Harvey, who has kind of taken the place of Alex Cobb, you know, what he did last year before the Orioles traded him. And so, you know, it's just interesting to look at you know, this rotation, because you don't have a Tommy Malone or an Asher Wojciechowski in there anymore, and these younger guys trying to figure it out for the Orioles. But, you know, basically the reason to look at it was because, you know, it's a 60-game sample, usually not something you look at, but when you're coming off a 60-game season, you want to see how it compares. And this Orioles team is pretty similar, but in different ways, to the 2020 team, and that the numbers have come out to be fairly similar to what they were last year, and the record, you know, is a couple games worse. But it feels like, you know, there's some more exciting stories. And the other thing I'll say is, you know, it feels like the Orioles have three all-star candidates this year in John Means, Cedric Mullins, and Trey Mancini. You look at the end of last year, you know, had there been an all-star team named after 60 games, I mean, I can tell you Jose Iglesias would have definitely been on there for the Orioles, but quite frankly, I don't know who else you would put on that team, really, from the Orioles. I mean, really, the guy who would maybe have that chance, you know, maybe Tanner Scott, but they're probably not going to put a non-closer reliever from the Orioles. So, you know, that's been one thing that has kind of made this season a little more fun to watch. You know, it's been more younger guys who are Orioles prospects, more so than some veterans. And, you know, there's been better individual performances, and the Orioles could have three all-stars. So, you know, there will be, through 60 games, still 100 more to go for the Orioles. And the hope is that there's a little more wins than there are now, as the Orioles are 22-38 through the 60 games here in 2021. But there's still going to be a lot of losing, but you know, things are at least, you know, looking up, because the Orioles, you know, did give away some veteran talent this offseason, and it really, you know, didn't change their numbers too much going into 2021. But you would like to see them avoid some 14-game losing streaks, and you would like to see them put together at least some better individual performances as we go on here in 2021. But we're going to take one more break here on the pod. When we come back, it's been the talk of baseball over the past week, and there are reports coming out that Major League Baseball might be cracking down on these sticky substances that are being used by pitchers across the league. We'll talk about what it means for baseball and what it could mean for the Orioles. That's coming up after this break. So we'll be back to talking Orioles in a second, but first got to tell you about BetOnline.ag, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Now, of course, we got the Major League Baseball season here in full swing. We're into June, and you can place all your baseball bets, track the action at BetOnline.ag. But, you know, it's not just baseball. We got the NBA and the NHL playoffs moving right along into the second rounds here. You can get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs at BetOnline. So before the next pitch, the puck drop, or tip-off, head over to betonline.ag on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Head to the website or use your phone to sign up today, and you can receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you use the promo code LOCKEDON. Again, that is promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit over at betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. So the talk across Major League Baseball this week has been about sticky substances, and the reports coming out this week that, you know, baseball might start cracking down on these substances over the next couple of weeks. And this is something we heard from Major League Baseball before the start of this 2021 season, is that, you know, they were trying to crack down on it this year. And we know how vocal a guy like Trevor Bauer has been about this issue, and, you know, probably is a guy who's going to be targeted. I mean, Bauer basically said you can't up your spin rates this much without using sticky stuff, and then upped his spin rates a whole lot in the 2020 season and got himself that huge contract from the Los Angeles Dodgers. And, you know, there have been other guys who, you know, whether it's seeing video on broadcasts or guys being called out by other players during games, or, you know, players murmuring to reporters, you know, all of this combined, there is a lot of guys across baseball that are using the sticky stuff. You know, it feels like, you know, there's got to be at least one prominent pitcher on every team that's using something that's more so than, you know, the kind of sunscreen and rosin combination that is the usual combo that, you know, has been used for a while from Major League Baseball players. And it seems like the sunscreen and the rosin has kind of been the, you know, accepted form of sticky stuff. You know, it doesn't give you this incredible advantage, but it helps pitchers control a little bit. You know, it's pretty readily available. A lot of pitchers use it. I think it's kind of the accepted, you know, sticky stuff. But there's a lot of pitchers using this spider tack, which is like, you know, crazy grade sticky stuff that, you know, takes forever to get off your fingers and, you know, gives you incredible grip and can really, really up your spin rates. And, you know, you hear people talk about spin rates and, you know, it's basically what makes a fastball harder to hit besides velocity. And, you know, your spin rate isn't necessarily going to make your fastball velocity go up, but it makes it spin more. And the spin rate on a fastball with a really high spin rate, gives it that almost rising effect on a four-seam fastball. So when John Means is, you know, throwing fastballs at 94, 95 by guys, you know, he's got a solid spin rate where it almost feels like that pitch can rise at times versus his changeup that drops and makes him even harder to hit at times. And, you know, it also, the spin rates on your curveballs and your sliders, you know, help them to break more and make them, you know, harder to hit. So you combine the high velocity of today's game with, you know, those big spin rates. And one of the reasons why it's getting harder and harder for hitters and why the, you know, the batting average is at one of its lowest numbers across the league in years here in 2021. And, you know, the reason I want to bring this up is because, you know, if MLB does start cracking down, this is going to affect every single team. And, you know, you may be wondering, you know, why don't teams or players call out other players? Because it's probably pretty known across the board, you know, who is using it, who's not. It's, you know, when you go up to bat, you know, you're standing on first or second base, you could probably get a good enough look at a pitcher to see if he's got something hidden somewhere and is, you know, going to touch that sticky stuff before he pitches. Well, the reason that teams, you know, don't stop the game and go out and have a pitcher inspected or, you know, call out guys in post-game press conferences is that I think it's pretty much assumed that, again, there is at least one guy on every team who's using that stuff. So, you know, say it's Orioles and Rays on Friday. You know, say the Rays have a pitcher out there and Brandon Hyde and some of the players are, you know, seeing sticky stuff on a Rays pitcher's fingers in the glove, you know, or around the hat, whatever, and they call it out. Well, immediately what the Rays are going to do, they're going to identify whoever on the Orioles is using sticky stuff. And, you know, there's got to be a couple of guys. They're just going to retaliate right back. And, you know, guys and teams are going to lose some of their best pitchers to these, you know, 8 to 10 game suspensions that MLB says it's going to hand out for using the illegal substances to try and get an advantage on the mound. And that's why we haven't really seen guys called out for this, you know, like we saw with the Astros cheating scandal with the bang in the trash cans, because other teams were aware of it. You could hear it on the broadcast. And every other team in baseball was like, we're not doing this. Why are the Astros doing this? We need to call this out. And of course, Mike Fiers, also the other thing, you know, when he kind of snitched on them when he went to the Athletics, he felt he could do that because he saw that he went to the A's and realized, oh, the A's aren't doing this. Other people in baseball aren't doing this. Why should the Astros be able to get away with doing this? And that's why he kind of, you know, opened up that story a little bit as well. But it's different with this sticky stuff because every team's got guys who use it. And that takes us to John Means, because, you know, we don't know anything for sure, but, you know, I'm sure you've seen the videos on TikTok or the videos that have gone around Twitter. And, you know, if not, they are there pretty easy to see that, you know, it does look like John Means has something in his glove a lot of the times when he is pitching. And, you know, he is constantly going in and out of his glove with the ball on the mound when he's waiting to get set. That's kind of his, you know, timing mechanism before he gets set and ready to pitch. And every time he goes into the glove and out of the glove, you know, it looks like there might be something being added to the ball for John Means. And I'm not saying, you know, him using sticky stuff is explaining why he's gone from good starter to Cy Young candidate here in 2021. There's obviously been a lot of factors for Means and he's gotten a lot better, but, you know, he might be using that stuff, and there is some video evidence to back up that he might be using it. So that's why, you know, the Orioles wouldn't call anybody out in case John Means is doing it. You don't want to lose John Means to call out, you know, some pitcher on another team. But here's where I stand on it. It's not like John Means and Trevor Bauer and, you know, maybe Garrett Cole, who had an awful answer to the question about sticky stuff in his press conference the other day. If you haven't seen it, go watch it. He was very floored by that question and gave an awful answer. But, you know, for John Means, it's not like, you know, it's those couple of guys, maybe a couple more, and that's it. I feel there's probably 3, 4, 5 plus pitchers on every team who are using it. So I'm not really bothered by John Means using the sticky stuff. If Garrett Cole's using it and Trevor Bauer's using it, and they're both getting these $300 to $400 million contracts and being considered for Cy Youngs and the best pitchers in baseball, then why shouldn't John Means be allowed to use it and every other pitcher be allowed to use it? I mean, you know, you shouldn't feel like, oh, we're going to lose John Means. You know, he's going to be terrible if they ban him for sticky stuff. No, he's still going to be a good pitcher. Trust me, you still got to have good stuff and know how to pitch to be this good. Maybe the sticky stuff helps a little on your spin rate, but you still got to be a great pitcher. But that's the thing. Like, I'm okay with it. You know, it's kind of feels like, you know, it's accepted across baseball to use some stuff, and, you know, they're getting better information about what stuff works better. And, you know, if you can find a way to use it and hide it and know that other guys are using it, I feel like it's okay. But here's where I stand on MLB. If they're going to crack down on it, do it. But what you have to do is crack down 100%. You cannot let people slip through the cracks. If you're going to crack down on these pitchers using sticky stuff, you have to make sure you get the spider tack and all this kind of advanced stuff and goop and whatever it is that they're using. You have to get that stuff out of the game. I think, you know, they could come to an agreement where maybe everybody feels that sunscreen and rosin is okay, but anything else that's more, you know, advanced can't be used. But you can't let guys slip through the cracks. You cannot suspend John Means, say, for 8 to 10 games because you find something on his glove when he goes out to the mound for his next start, and then just let Gerrit Cole go by cleanly in his next start because, you know, you're only doing random checks or something and you're not checking every pitcher every game. That's where the issue comes in. To completely eradicate it, you have to check every pitcher every game when they enter the game. Rob Manfred's not going to want to do that. That slows down the pace of the game. He's trying to speed up the game at this point. So that's where we kind of hit a standstill here. And, you know, I think Major League Baseball is going to try to make an example out of some guys by suspending them. But I don't think there's any way they're going to eradicate this completely. And I think that's the only good way to attack this. You have to get it 100% or you're just making things worse because you're giving more of an advantage to guys who don't get caught if you're catching, you know, even 75% of the guys, and 25% of the guys are getting away with it. And then they're even better because, you know, instead of 50% of baseball using it and them being one of them, now maybe 10% of baseball is using it and they're one of them. So their stats get even better. They get more dominant. Their team gets more of an advantage. So it's a tough situation for Major League Baseball, but they got themselves into it by not cracking down earlier and letting it continue. And again, you know, if John Means is using it, I'm not bothered by it. I hope he doesn't get suspended for it. I hope Major League Baseball doesn't make, you know, an example of him at some point. But somebody's got to figure out some way to come to an agreement where some stuff can be used, but it can't be this crazy stuff that ups your spin rate so much and makes these pitchers just kind of impossible to hit. But, you know, we will see over the next week or two how Major League Baseball really does try to crack down on this stuff. But, you know, time will tell. And, you know, when John Means comes off the IL, maybe there will already be a couple of guys suspended and he'll switch things up. So if he is using stuff, he does not get caught. But that'll do it for today's episode. We will be back with you tomorrow to finish up the week. We will preview the 3-game weekend series between the Orioles and the Rays. O's going to the Trop for the first time this season. We will talk about it tomorrow. And then also planning on doing a mailbag episode tomorrow. So if you want to get your mailbag questions in, you can tweet at us at @ConnorNewcomb_ or at @LockedOnOrioles. Tweet at the account or DM us. DMs are open to get your mailbag questions in. Or you can email us at LockedOnOrioles@gmail.com and get in those mailbag questions for tomorrow's Mailbag Friday episode. But until then, I'm Connor Newcomb, and this has been the Locked On Orioles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.